This is Father's Day. For some, a time that is very painful. For others, a time that they would perhaps like to forget. For others, a very joyful time. A time of excitement, a time of anticipation. Friday, I picked up Christopher from school, and all I could do to keep him from telling me what he got me for Father's Day. I almost had to pay him not to tell me. And he would tell me, okay, I'll just give you a hint, just a hint. And it's interesting, Father's Day has come, and I haven't gotten it as yet. It will come later on. Listen to these words. Someone brought this to my attention. Just notice as I copied it, some of the words are gone. My daddy can do anything. My daddy knows a whole lot of things. My word. Okay, let me go over that. When 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. 5 years old, my daddy knows a whole lot of things. At six, my daddy is smarter than your dad. At 10, in the olden days, when things were different, in the olden days, I love that. I listened to that announcement just now for those 50 and over. And then a boat. Oh, wow. And then at 14, don't pay any attention to daddy. He's old-fashioned. I'm so sorry. I didn't get all this. Let's see. At 30, maybe we should ask dad. After all, he's a lot older, I think. At 35, I'm not doing a single thing without asking dad. At 40, I wonder how dad would feel about this. I love that. And then at 50, I'd give anything if dad were here, I could talk this over with him. I didn't appreciate it then, and I could have learned a lot from dad. Listen to this. If I am an effective father, it is because I have deliberately set as one of my priorities, in fact, one of life's priorities, the highest, the creation of a condition in my home that will stimulate my children to grow to their full God-given potential. If I am an effective father, it is because I have deliberately set as my highest priority to create a condition in my home that will stimulate my children to grow to their full God-given ability. Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, a text that we all know, but a text that I gleaned from this past week in preparation for this day, which I believe God would have us hear, whether we are fathers or not. Even as mothers, we become a part of what happens to father. And by the way, this evening, we are going to be talking about that, a tragic mistake in a home from the Old Testament. And we're dealing with the series on the home. Joshua chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, Joshua set a line as a father, a line of demarcation. He put it out front. He made it known to everyone, to those who would read centuries after, to those who listened to him at the time he spoke. And he made it plain without any hesitation, without any equivocation, without any deviation. He made it known that as far as he was concerned, his home had the priority. His home had the priority. Time will not permit to do a lot of preliminaries, so I get right into the text. The first priority of a father, the first priority of a husband, once you get into the estate of matrimony, especially, the first priority from this text, Joshua says, is the priority of personal faithfulness. As for me, note he didn't begin with his house, he didn't begin with his home, he didn't begin with his job, he began with himself. And in verse 14, he told the people to fear the Lord and serve him and to serve him with sincerity and to make a definite decision as to whom will be the one who has the control of your life. He begins by saying, fear the Lord. If we are going to take a personal inventory and to have the priority of personal faithfulness in our lives, we must begin, my friends, with what happens between me and God. And the first thing that Joshua was concerned about in his concern for priority as a father was what I call moral soundness. To be morally sound. Listen. Fear the Lord. I find two things in the scriptures that we find right through when it comes to fear. The first thing that Joshua is concerned about as far as he's concerned with his own personal life, with his own personal faithfulness, is that he might be a man of pure attitude, purity of attitude. Listen, a person who fears the Lord, says the scriptures, hates sin. A person who fears the Lord hates sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, is to have an attitude of purity so that inwardly, in his life, in a father's life, he does not in any way, at any time, whether he's with his family or whether he's alone, a father who is concerned about purity of attitude never allows himself to participate in the delicacies of evil, of sin. He has a disposition of dislike for what is evil. He's not talking now about people. The word to evil there has to do with that disposition. Things that are evil, things that are wicked, things that are impure. And the greatest challenge of a father, the greatest challenge of a man, is when he is all alone, what takes place in his mind? What takes place between him and the four walls in which he finds himself? What takes place between him and the environment when he's on the road, if he's a businessman? Listen, this doesn't have only to do, my friends, with things that are wicked. It has to do with things that are impure in the sense of relationships, attitudes. Having a negative attitude, having a temper that flies off at the switch of a switch, if you please. Purity of attitude. He puts himself like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says, I put my body and I discipline my body so that I begin to have an attitude that is formed by my relationship with God. I begin to experience in my life a dislike for that which is impure, an attitude that is pure. The fear of the Lord is to hate, is to have an attitude of dislike for that which is wrong, no matter what it is. Secondly, to fear the Lord, to be morally sound, is not simply to have a pure attitude. It has also purity of activities. Purity of activities. Proverbs 16 and 6. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. On the one hand, it is to hate it. That is the attitudinal. On the other hand, it is to depart from it. To excuse yourself from the presence of that which is impure. The environment in which we work, we should stay there. But that environment should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one of the things I do not do as a man, as a Christian, as a father, I do not participate in activities that will compromise my relationship and my responsibility to my family. Several years ago, one of the things that used to be the thing to do was mother-in-law jokes. And I learned from the book of Ruth that if I am to be a pure husband to my wife, I must have a pure attitude about her parents. And when anyone makes fun of in-laws, I do not participate, because one of the things I want is a life of activity that is free from demeaning anyone. Not only, you see, we can keep from going to a porno shop. We can keep from going to some of the places that we wouldn't want people to see us in. I knew I was going to have a chance to tell you this somewhere. I don't know where it was going to come, but here it is. I was telling my class this morning about I was mowing the lawn, going to mow the lawn on Friday. And if you know, that's no big thing for some of you who have been doing it for a number of years. But for 15 years, I've been fooling my wife, telling her that I have allergic reactions to the cutting the lawn, and she believed me. No, that's... I couldn't. I really couldn't. I couldn't do it. But she's having some problems with her back, and so I went to my allergist and asked if I could be retested, and he did, and he went through all the things and gave me some new medication and some things, and it's working. It's really working, and I'm glad I'm able to do it again. So Friday morning, I was going to cut the lawn, but before I did, I wanted to take a letter to the mailbox to mail for my sister, who has a birthday tomorrow, and I wanted to make sure that she got her card on time. So I just had my gym suit on. I walked up to the cashier to pay for the stamp, and she gasped. She said, "I've never seen you naked before." I looked at her, I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You are always so perfectly dressed." She said I was naked. Man, that scared me. That really. So I have a reputation outside the church as well. But my friends, we would avoid a lot of things that human eyes can see. But as fathers, do we avoid things that human eyes cannot see? When I'm with my friends, when certain things are being passed along, let me suggest to you, my friends, one of them. And I do not say this with any sense of relatedness to this congregation, but I know it is one of the great temptations. And it's how we talk as fathers in front of our children about the church we're involved in. How do I speak in front of my son about Blaine and his family? How do I speak in front of my son about the elders of this church? What attitude do I develop in him because of the way I speak in his presence about those that I serve? Let me tell you, my friends, one of the things I want is not simply a pure attitude, but I want my activities also to be pure. And Joshua said, "As for me and my house, for me, I want to be morally sound. I want my whole being to be truly engrossed in what pleases God, so that when I express myself outside of the presence of those who know me, God is pleased with my attitude as well as with my activities. As for me, the priority of a father is not the house in which he lives. It is himself in the house he lives in. As for me." Secondly, he wants not only moral soundness. I find my friends in this text, Joshua as a father wanted personal seriousness. Now that doesn't mean he can't laugh. If you know me, you know I love the latest joke. But that's not what this is talking about. Listen to what he says. Serve him with sincerity. As a father, I want to serve with sincerity. It means, my friends, that there is personal transparency in my life as a father. To be sincere means that there is no foreign elements inside of me with what I'm saying. What I say with my lips can be verified in my heart. It is true when I speak. I speak what is true because I'm speaking what I am. Transparency. Again, I'm sorry, the time will not allow to go through that, but that is so important. How many times have we not been caught short by saying something and being inconsistent with what we say? Reminds me of the father who usually took his family for a Sunday afternoon drive. You can tell this was a long time ago. Don't do that anymore. And every Sunday they would go out. One Sunday the father was ill and the mother took them for a drive. And when the kids came back, they went to their daddy who was lying on the couch and said, "Daddy, we had a wonderful time with mom. And you know, she didn't see any of those people you usually see when you're driving." You know what kind of people he used to see? I won't even describe them to you. That child, my friends, was learning how to respond to people who got in his way from his father. What do our children hear? What do they see? Do they see a father they can trust because he is without foreign elements in his speech? He doesn't speak, if you please, my friends, one side of his mouth one way, one side another way. These are practical stuff that's really necessary if our children, my friends, are to have foundation upon which they're to live. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. Please, this is not political. I was thinking of that lady in Hamilton that said if the GST was not removed, she was going to resign. And she did resign to run again. Think of it. She didn't say that. She said, "I will resign." Think of the excuses that were made before she came to that place. Bring that to our personal lives, friends. And think of times when we promise our children, as fathers, we would do things with them. As I read from a book that was given to me just a few days ago to read, the little girl who went to her dad and said, "Dad, would you read this with me?" And she said, "Not now." He said, "Not now." And the whole thing went on. And so she left the book in front of her dad, went to play, as her dad said, and was killed by a drunk driver. And now he's taking time to really to read the story to a little girl who wasn't there because his word could not be trusted. Personal transparency. I tell you, you have no idea what it does to me for my daughter to say that I have taught her this. I know that I have tried to display it, not only with words, but it's a very important thing. Not only do we have, my friends, personal transparency, but personal consistency. Personal consistency. Serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. The word simply means be true to what you know. Be true to what you know. Don't use the book as a hammer. Don't say, "This is what the Bible says." It is so easy for us as fathers to do this. "Why, Dad?" "Because I say so." God doesn't treat us that way. God shares with us. He interchanges with us. He listens to us. And my friends, what this text is saying when we say, and truth, it is simply saying this. You know certain truth. Then act according to that truth. It relates to sincerity in that sincerity has to do with attitude. This has to do with activity. So the activity of a father is morally sound, personally serious, because he takes God seriously.
He takes God seriously. He doesn't manipulate the scriptures to say something for him and something else for his children. And that can be multiplied 1,000 times over. Personal integrity is a part of a father's priority. As for me, let me quickly go to my second point. The priority of his family. The priority of his family. He begins with himself. And then he moves to his house. As for me and my house. The word house in the Hebrew there literally means family. It is not the four walls. It is not the material used for building the house. It is the family, the people who live in that home. It is the father and the mother and the children. I searched up and down everything I could get my hands on to see if I could find out what Joshua's wife was like. And I have no information. How many children he had? I looked and looked and looked and came across nothing that was satisfactory. But I want to make some assumptions. And these assumptions, my friends, are not simply my ideas. I think they're in the text implied. As for me and my family, as for me and my family, my house, those to whom I relate. I said it a few Sunday nights ago and I say it again. That before God takes a man and puts him in public, he investigates his life at home. Because your home is the preparation for your public service, no matter what it is. Through and through the scripture. Quickly. Three things I see here from this text that Joshua wanted as a father. In a home, the concern of a father is for communication. Communication. One of the things I have tried to teach both my children, I cannot stand one-word answers. How was school today? Good. What did you do in school today? Nothing. Oh, doesn't that just drive you up a wall? Joshua was concerned about communication. Listen, my friends, he was so confident of communication in his home that he got in front of a whole community. Chapter 24, verse 1. He got in front of the entire community. And he said to them, as for me and my house, as a father, he could speak for his family. He was consistent in his home as a father, and he knew he could be consistent outside or believed on in public. As for me, the father who is able to stand before an entire community and to say, my house. That is his priority. He wants to make sure that no matter how successful he is outside of the home, nothing will mean a hill of beans if he is not successful at home. At home. A few weeks ago, I was just under the weather for a number of reasons. One of them, I was engrossed in my master's program having to get 6 or 7 papers done. Along with a few other things. And I got my grade back this past week, and I tell you, those teachers don't know anything. I said to my wife, after all that work, he gave me a lousy B+. I deserve that. I didn't do a good work, I know it. And there were times, my friends, when my little boy was asking me, Daddy, can you take me out to ride my bicycle? And I am ashamed to say to you this morning that 4 times I had to say, I'm too busy. I was about to go back for the second part of my studies last week, and I made a choice. The choice was to spend some time with my family, my wife, and my daughter when she comes home, and Heather and Christopher, teaching him He's going to be taking swimming lessons again, and he's going to be going every day next week. And I had a choice to go back to try and get my master's program done by next year this time, or spend time with my family, or write the dean of graduate studies and ask him for an extension. And you know what I chose? I chose to ask him for an extension because I value my family. I could go and do it. I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the mornings studying, reading, writing. I could do it again. But I have made a conscious choice, my friends, that if I am to say to you that my family has priority, I must put it into practice. I can't be insincere. I can't give you the verbiage. I must give you the reality of things as they are. And when it comes, my friends, to having communication in the home that is really important, a choice has to be made as a father. As for me and my house, listen, Joshua was a military man. Joshua was a man who had responsibilities outside of the home. And you know what it's like when a father is in some kind of a ministry, some kind of a responsibility, especially as a soldier. He wants to become a soldier at home, you know, like Major Dad. And one of the things I must constantly fight is that I am not a pastor at home. I am a father. So there are certain times when I take my briefcase at home and it has to be left locked. If I'm to communicate with my children, with my wife, if I'm to speak in public of the home, then I must put into practice what I'm talking about. So there is confidence in communication. Before the entire congregation, Joshua was able to say, "My house." He spoke on the behalf of his wife. He spoke on the behalf of his children. He spoke on the behalf of his home. There is also the challenge in communication. Now, I was interested in this because I wanted to know if Joshua had any daughters. You know, we as men, we are able to communicate quite easily with our sons. Are we not? Take them to baseball games? Now, I used to take my daughter to the baseball games. I used to go every Friday afternoon to Licks and then to the baseball games. Every Friday. But isn't it true, my friends, when it comes to having daughters, fathers tend to strike out. For some reason, as men, we do not do a good job speaking with our daughters. Sharing with them at those very important age, those times in their lives when they need to be affirmed by father. Times when they do not go outside the home at the tender age of development to be affirmed by some other kind of a man. When my daughter was 13, I wrote her a letter. "Now that you are 13. And I realized that at 13 she was beginning to become a young woman. And sooner or later, she would no longer be under my roof as such as a little girl. Always be my little girl," in quotation marks. But she's not a little girl, she's a young woman. And one day my son will be a young man. And my friends, I want to be able to say that I have put into them as a father those qualities that in the event God should call me home before they establish their own homes, I will die with the confidence knowing that they have been given the tools with which to make life successful to the glory of God. Fathers, has there been a time when you have taken your daughter by herself to talk with her? To let her know how you feel about her as being your child. To let her know that she will encounter some very terrible men out there. Some men that are mean. So that when she encounters those kinds, she has the sensitivity to discern, "Dad said this is what it would be like, and I am going to put up my walls immediately." And to allow her to open the walls of her life to the right person that God brings into her life, because you have actually prepared her for that day. And she doesn't have to go through the process. Now, let me tell you, I'm not talking that they don't have, Tom and Dick and Harry come. I spoke to John Hamilton some years ago, and I said, girls are very interesting things. You know, you worry about them every time they go out. And I said, I hear my daughter talking about this young man and that young man, and I don't know. I like to say, why don't you wait like your dad? He was 32. You don't need to worry about anything now. And John said, Winston, if I had a dollar for every boy my daughter brought home, I'd be rich right now. Oh, friends, are you willing as a father to let them go through some of the heartbreaks of relationship, but know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if anyone disappoints me in my life, my dad will not do it? I can go to dad under the circumstances, and I can be assured of being encouraged, being instructed, being cared for, because my father cares for me as his daughter. We are good with our sons, but we tend to fail with our daughters. No one pattern fits a man, but despite the differences, I see some definite commonalities in which the lives of children must be touched with a father's consistency. The downbeat of the effective father comes through his use of words. The precedence he sets in daily instruction. Oh man, did I ever learn that one? I remember. Oh, in fact, it's happening with my second child. I'm not even going to touch the first one. Christopher, clean your room. My friends, C-L-E-A-N does not mean to a child or a sibling what it means to you as a parent. Clean means pick up what is on the floor that he can see. It doesn't mean vacuum. It doesn't mean scrubbing. It doesn't mean dusting. And when you tell them you meant that, they'll tell you they didn't hear you say that. That's true. We must be clear as fathers when we speak. We must let our children know precisely what we're saying. We cannot, my friends, make inferences and expect them to get the facts. We must tell them in plain language. They only speak one during a time, and it is their own. He sets in his daily instructions the precedence by the words he uses, the types of correction. How do we correct our children? I read a story again in this book given to me, loaned to me, I should say. The young daughter who was using her father's car, and she had a slight collision. New car. Brand new car, the smell that every father still loves. And she was pleading with the next person, oh, couldn't we settle this without my dad knowing? And she said, no, we have to. And she opened the glove compartment to get the paraphernalia, and on top of everything, she found a note. Sweetheart, remember, if you ever have an accident, I love you more than I do the car. How do we correct our children, friends? When they deliberately fail, are we found in Luke 15? Does our love invite our children back to the fold where they can learn that there is a father at home who, although he corrects them, loves them, and because he loves them, he corrects them? The correction he imposes in those ambiguous situations, and simply the way he himself lives. Let me close with just three little thoughts from this chapter, 24th chapter in the 15th verse of Joshua. There is a direction in his communication. Listen, I'm going to be brief with it. We will serve the Lord. There's unity in service. When a family comes together, when my son and my daughter and my wife see me going to church, they have a sense of celebration because Daddy is going to do the will of God. They share it with me. They're not offended when I give time to God because I make sure that I give time to them. They understand when sacrifices must be made for the ministry because they know that I will also make sacrifices for them. Unity in service. There's energy in service. Energy in service. As for me and my house, we will serve. The Hebrew word there is to labor. It is to spend oneself, is to be exhausted. And my friends, we have not served the Lord Jesus Christ in His church until we have become exhausted one time or another. I'm not saying that's the way we should be. I'm not saying that. But when our service for Christ is limited to this amount of all the minutes and the hours and the days He gives to us, we have not yet started to serve Him. Joshua, when he uses the word serve, uses the word, my friends, that is used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, when God told Adam to take care of the earth. It is actually to get involved in what is required for the ground in the garden to be kept. Energy in service. I want you to know, my friends, that I appreciate very, very much when people say to me, take it easy. I appreciate it, and please never stop. I want to be conscious of that. But let me tell you, friends, when I used to play baseball, I used to play ball until you couldn't see the ball. Nighttime would fall, and I used to listen for the sound of the ball and go in that direction. I used to play ball 7 days a week. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if sometime in my pilgrimage as a father, I cannot make a sacrifice for God, I have not yet started to serve the Lord with my house. That's what Joshua is saying. Energy in service. And lastly, there's destiny in service. There's unity in service. There's energy in service. And there is destiny in service. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I, as a father, want to teach my daughter that I am satisfied as her father. That when she goes out to sing, wherever she's singing, wherever she is, that she has as her goal, this is for God. This is for the glory of the Lord. This is to magnify the Lord. I remember when Heather was a little girl, she wanted to be a fashion designer. And she used to do some very good jobs. I mean, she used to come with all her papers. I don't even know if she remembers this. And I thought, a fashion designer? Oh, man, I used to see some of these guys on TV, and they are not my... Well, I just didn't like some of them. And then one day it struck me. Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, wake or sleep, whatever you do to the glory of God. And I remember going to my daughter and I said, honey, if you want to be a fashion designer, be the best possible designer for the glory of God. Now, she's not a fashion designer. She still likes fashion, but she's not a fashion designer. She's doing something that brings joy to my heart. That is, she's serving the Lord. As for me and my house, we, unity, will serve energy, the Lord, destiny.